James Bamford, you have reported on government security agencies for more than 30 years. How did their strategy and role change within those years? Is it possible to sum it up from your perspective?
So it's grown enormously, both in terms of size and also in power over the past 30 years. And one other factor is it's grown equally in illegal activities. It's since 2001, the NSA abandoned its oversight and began eavesdropping illegally on the United States.
How big was the impact of the internet and having a globalized, interconnected world?
Well, it was a complete change for NSA. NSA had spent most of the last part of its existence focusing on largely on dedicated lines. Those are communications lines coming out of the Soviet Union or other places, and all that was on those lines were the information that they wanted to target, in other words, government information. These were communications lines coming out of the Kremlin, out of naval ports, out of military bases. So all that was on those communications connections was information that NSA was targeting. The problem with the end of the Cold War and the beginning of digitalization and the internet is that now the information they are after is on the same communications links that everybody communicates on. So they're focusing on an enormous variety of communications, from Twitters to email, Facebook, all kinds of social media, in addition to just the normal communications.
So in your recent report in the Wired magazine, you wrote about a secret and huge NSA data center in Utah. Can you tell us why we should care about it here in Europe?
Well, the idea that I wrote about, this plan that the NSA has, more than a plan, it's actually turning into reality, this creation of this enormous data center, is not exclusive to the United States. First of all, the information that's going to be going in there will be information from large parts of the world, including Germany. And there's not a ban on eavesdropping on German citizens in NSA, so I'm sure Germany is one of the targets it's going to be eavesdropping on. So some of the communications going into the center will probably be German communications. In addition to that, the whole idea of building this center is because so much data is being collected that they need a place to store it all. There's a capability in there of storing a yottabyte worth of data. That's, if you translated that into pages, it would be about 500 quintillion pages of data, of text. So there's enormous amounts of storage capability. And the other reason is that NSA is not alone. The British had talked about building a similar center, and then there was public outrage over it, so they agreed not to do it. Now they're going to eavesdrop on, or they're going to have an agreement with the various internet companies to get access to the information that they hold. So, it's possible that the various countries in Europe could be looking into similar types of data centers.
Let's look at the ties between government agencies and the private sector. How did this relationship develop, especially since the rise of the internet?
It's basically the rise of the outsourcing and the contractors within the intelligence community. And that happened largely after 9/11 because there were too few people in the intelligence community that could handle all the work that was being given out to the spies, to the electronic spies and human spies. So they had to turn to the contractor community, and that was a community that was made up by a lot of people who had previously been in the intelligence community. So they brought in a lot of contractors, a lot of people who had clearances and that were working on the had previously worked on secret projects for the government. And then it kept expanding. So now you have just enormous numbers of people who are working in the intelligence community that have never worked for the government and don't work for the government. They're private contractors, which is rather frightening because these people don't have any accountability. They're not people that can be called before Congress. You can't send a Freedom of Information Act request to get information from them. So it's a lack of accountability. And now NSA is doing a lot of its eavesdropping through contractors, not using even its own employees, or hiring, outsourcing the eavesdropping on the United States and the world.
So you already mentioned the fact that this storage of data is realized in every part of the world nearly. So what would you say, especially the fact that there are private companies involved in this, does this have a special influence for the users, for the normal people?
Well, I think it's a very worrying factor. It's a factor that should be a concern to the average person, because it's one thing to have the government with all its the controls. They have to report to Congress, and they have certain checks and balances to do the work. It's I think it should be much more of a concern to the American public when they outsource the eavesdropping to people who have no connection with government, and a lot of this information might be very private and personal information that's going to people that may work for a fly-by-night company. I just wrote another piece for Wired where I talk about how these contractors are not very reliable. I mean, they employ unstable people, they employ crooks, the head of one of the companies that they employ is now a fugitive, wanted on about 36 criminal charges and hiding out in Africa. So that's the problem you have. You have a problem of people who are unreliable, handling information which is extremely personal and delicate information of Americans.
Outsourcing and using private companies and contractors, is that a way for government agencies to get things done they usually wouldn't be allowed doing? Or are the private companies more creative than government agencies?
Well, I think it's just that the governments, the U.S. government, or actually NSA, feels that the use of contractors is easier because they can hire them quickly. They don't have to go through long recruitment processes and so forth, and they pretty much will do whatever NSA asks them to do. So again, I think it's the problem of first of all, there's too much information coming in, not too little, and the more contractors they hire, the more information they bring in. And NSA seems to be drowning in data rather than not having enough data, which is one of the problems. And actually, the NSA does a lot of the eavesdropping from Germany.
InQtel is probably the most popular connection between government agencies and web technology companies. How do those partnerships usually work, and what's the benefit for government agencies?
Well, InQtel is actually a organization created by the CIA to look for high-tech firms and pretty much make agreements with high-tech firms to supply the CIA with state-of-the-art, on-the-edge technology. It's difficult for the CIA to set up an office and have people go out there talking to companies about building different things. But InQtel is sort of this organization which is a hybrid. It's basically part of CIA, but yet it could be looked at as not part of CIA, at least from the outside. So it's this unique organization where they can go out and try to get the contracting community to or actually invest government money into the contracting community to build things that would be useful to the CIA.
Let's talk about the legal side of all this stuff. I mean, is that really legal to gather all this information? Or is it, is nobody really concerned about this stuff? Aren't there any, I don't know, demonstrations or any kind of legal action to prevent all this huge data mining and data gathering?
Well, the NSA keeps pushing the legal limit and going over the legal limit. After 9/11, it completely bypassed the law. The law says that if you want to eavesdrop on American communications, you have to get a warrant from this very secret court called the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court. And it's a very useful procedure, and the court has never had any leaks. But still, the NSA and the Bush administration decided to violate the law and go around the court, not get warrants. And then when that was discovered in the press, then there was some attempt to sort of codify or to make into law what NSA was doing, which basically weakened the oversight, weakened the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court. So right now it's very secret. Nobody's allowed to know what NSA does or what its capabilities are or what its legal framework is to a large degree. NSA always says that we're obeying the law. They said that all during the time that that they were doing this illegal warrantless eavesdropping. So you have to take their claims of innocence with a grain of salt. So that's the problem, is that the NSA operates in such secrecy, you never know what it's doing, and it could operate illegally for years, from the time it was created until in 1952, until 1975, when this Operation Shamrock was discovered. NSA was during that time doing all the illegal eavesdropping illegally on U.S. Telegrams. Every telegram coming into the country, going out of the country, or going through the country was copied by NSA illegally. So that's the problem. It's an agency that lives in such secrecy, you never know what they might be doing or whether they're obeying the law or not. And in terms of protest, no, the public is very empathetic when it comes to issues of privacy. It's largely a product of fear-mongering. The administrations for years have overemphasized the dangers of terrorism. And so as a result of that, everybody feels that whatever the government does is fine.
So nowadays the government invests in the private sector or outsources the research to companies or private institutions. So let's have a look in the future. So how does all this change the way security operations and government agencies work?
Well, I think in the future you're just going to see more of what you have now, which is a continual drive to more and more outsource the intelligence collection, outsourcing human spies, outsourcing electronic spies, outsourcing the eavesdropping and everything else, because it's an easy way for the government to get people. They don't have to recruit them, they don't have to train them, they're already available, and so you have enormous numbers of companies. They're called Beltway Bandits. It's a term in Washington because they have all these companies around the Beltway of Washington. And a few people have ever heard of their names. They come and they go. They may last for a year or two, or some have been around for decades. But there's this enormous growth of private intelligence in the United States that is continually expanding. And not only is it difficult to find out what NSA is doing, it's extremely difficult to find out what these private contractors are doing, because there's no obligation for them to cooperate with the public. They don't have to have public affairs people that answer to the public. They don't have to answer to Congress. They don't have to respond to Freedom of Information Act requests.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for this interview and for your time. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Bye-bye.